Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. It is amazing what is taking place in the world today. You know, we always talk about not necessarily the news as much as, you know, God's news behind the news. And the one thing I want to first, you know, we're 15 days away from celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from Christmas. Yes. And I'm so excited about it. And I really like what, you know, Barbara's saying out of Texas and Kichara and Teresa saying in Jersey. You know, we need to focus. This is not just, it's not just like a pretty saying. We really need to understand that we need to put in the minds and the hearts of the church, of believers.
Yes.
You know, not the world, but we got to put Christ back in Christmas in the dialogue. And there's a movie that's just being released. You got to see it. Maybe we'll have a trailer of it on the VFN Torch, but it's called Last Ounce of Courage. You know, we got to get some courage. We got to be willing to let go of all the gifts you get to be able to bring Christ, the gift, back into Christmas. And we got to willing to forego a few things. A lot of people are willing to go through some great suffrage for some really crazy things like trees and things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Tree huggers and,
right.
You know, put them as crazy what people go through. And it's like, you know, we need to do that. We need to stand up. Even if it means that in America, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's freedom. There's freedom in America, and putting Christ back into Christmas. But it's amazing too, is how, you know, the people that some people, they want to deny Christ, Jesus Christ,
right?
But yet they want to celebrate his birthday.
Come on now.
Yeah. You know, and they want the benefits that come from what the world has turned Christmas into.
And they even show a holiday.
They even show up with a Christmas gift list of things they want on his birthday. You don't live for him all year long. You don't acknowledge him at your workplace. You don't say you want to live your marriage the way he says marriage should be. You don't want to live as a child, you know, supposed to in the family. You don't want to acknowledge him before all and live an abiding lifestyle with him. But yet you got a gift list on his birthday. I am just shocked. It's like, how embarrassing. I mean, there's like 365 days in the year. Why would you want your gifts list on his birthday that you don't even acknowledge ever even came to earth in the first place?
And you have a birthday.
Can you imagine? And this is what I always thought, but it's true. Imagine it's your birthday. You've been focused on your birthday. You know, obviously you're a young person and you're focused on your birthday. Well, no, I've seen some others that are focused on their birthday and they're thinking, I mean, they're all month long, they thought about themselves and they're excited about it. And they know their friends and family are having some big surprise party. And then they show up, you know, waiting for this big thing that they said they're going to be surprised by. And they walk in and has this big banner. This big banner, you know, saying happy birthday, but it doesn't have your name on it. It has somebody else's name on it. You know, I mean, that alone, you know, it just kind of like, you know, you're going to be shocked.
All right.
But then you go to the birthday cake, and the birthday cake's got that same person's name. I don't even have your name on it. And then all your friends and family that bought you gifts, you don't even know who got you the gifts because they didn't put their name on it. They said it came from somebody else that nobody doesn't even exist. It's like, I need therapy. What's going on here? Is this my birthday or what? I mean, this is crazy. They're saying it came from some saint somewhere, you know, and I thought I saw him in the store buying that gift for me, but he put somebody else's name on it and said he came on the rooftop. What, the rooftop? My roof? He better stay off of my roof. That cost me thousands of dollars. You know, if you want to come to me, you need to come to my front door.
And don't you fall off it. My insurance ain't going to cover it.
I know, you know. And this saint dude, he could have 365 days. If your name is so powerful and it's so important, why don't you take another day? Why take Jesus' birthday? I don't care how pretty you are or how well you dress. It ain't your birthday.
That's right.
It's not your birthday. And we've got to put, and listen, you have people professing all day long. This is, you know, this is all about Jesus. But when you go, you know, into their home, it's like, well, who is this fat dude? And what's going on? And who you leaving cookies out for? You know, Jesus is going to come back, but he's not going to come back for milk and cookies. He's going to come back to be able to take the church with him. You know, the Mount of Olives is going to split. We got to make up our mind. Are we going to, you know, continue with traditions that nullify the word himself, you know, or are we going to say, you know what, take any day you want to. By the way, if you do take some other day, they won't celebrate you because they're only, you had to mix it in with somebody very, very important to be celebrated. You know, that's why they take his day. That's why he take his day. And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, crumble your cookies or nothing, but it's Jesus' birthday. I mean, it was dark. Think about it. It was for almost 400 years of gross darkness on the face of the earth. God's people didn't look anything like his people because they were all in all this darkness and all these terrible things were going on. And, you know, what happened? These prophets had talked about in the Old Testament, you can read it, they talked about this coming of a Savior and that God was going to bring this Messiah and he was going to, but we're a mess. I mean, we are a mess. Prostitution in the temple, all these things are going on. But all of a sudden, despite all of that, and there was just a few people. I mean, there was just a few people. If you go back, the Bible just talks about a few people that were waiting and they were praying and believing that God was going to send somebody. But it wasn't a huge army of people. You know, it was a few priests. You know, and then the priest didn't believe it when he started talking. He said the answer showed up, and they go, "As a matter of fact, you're not going to be able to talk for a while because you're just going to mess up my plans, right?" John's dad, and so. So then, you know, the angel shows up and begins again. John the Baptist's dad says, "Listen, this is what I'm going to do, but just you're going to mess it up." So even though you've been praying about this, this is my plan. You've been agreeing with me. And so he couldn't talk. But then all of a sudden, you know, Mary, this young virgin girl that was pledged to be married to this man named Joseph, you know, was going about her day. And just suddenly the plan of God, you know, an angel, a messenger from God, Gabriel himself, who stands in the presence of God, stood in the presence of Mary and began to talk to her and says, "You found favor." She didn't find no Santa Claus. She found favor with the creator of the world.
That's right. Come on.
This is awesome. Don't let anybody steal this. We're about to lose our nation because the church has lost their Lord in their heart. We've got to begin to reboot in what Christmas is about, because if you miss Christmas, you miss everything. Because outside of the birth, life, death and burial of Jesus Christ and resurrection, listen, we are lost. There is no hope for mankind. And so this is the reason for the season, that all of a sudden Gabriel says, "Listen, Mary, you found favor with God." I mean, that's powerful. I mean, can you imagine? It's just like the creator of the universe showed up and just said, "Pat, you found, the Lord has been thinking about you." I mean, think about it. No, awesome.
Yeah. Huge.
And then good thoughts. Which is even more awesome, right? I mean, it's powerful. I mean, because, you know, no teenager feels confident about themselves. Although a teenager back then were appreciated for the brains that they have. But today, you know, society thinks that teenagers don't have brains and you don't they don't need to get functional until they're around 18 years old. And because of that, they are smart and intelligent. They end up turning in on themselves, trying to figure out what to do while they're playing virtual things instead of just getting involved and getting a job and getting responsible and that type of thing. That's another day. And here she is, and he says, "You found favor with God, that you are going to have a child. You're going to have a child." And she's thinking, "Well, yeah, I'm going to marry Joseph, and, you know, we're going to have a few kids, and we're going to have a few goats and camels, you know, the normal, you know, Jewish dream." And in that, he says, "You found favor with God, that you are going to have a child. The Spirit of God is going to hover over your womb, and he's going to impregnate your womb. The egg of woman with the seed of God are going to connect. The hope of God is going to be encountered inside your womb, Mary. You have found favor with God. The hope of all mankind is going to start inside of your womb." I mean, this is power. You can see where the Catholic Church is kind of like, you know, kind of went a little too far in the 50s and the 60s and started, you know, lifting her to a place she shouldn't, because that's pretty awesome, but she's not God, right, and she's not access to him. But understand that that's what happened. And all of a sudden, you know, she's just awed with us and she's thinking about it, but all of a sudden it happens. And now she's carrying around the promise of God in her womb. What is that the government of God will be on his shoulders and he will rule forever. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the Messiah, was conceived in the womb of woman by the Spirit of God. Listen, charisma is what, it's, oh my goodness, how did it come about anything else? It's the gift of God unto salvation. Hmm. The gifts that we give are like gifts imitating, understanding that we got the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about your Xbox and your Nintendo or your diamonds or your digital device. It is about understanding that that was the day that we celebrate that God gave us the gift, his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his the greatest gift of all, which was his son, Jesus Christ. And so she had to walk around with a savior of all mankind in her womb, never slept with a man before. She's a virgin, and she's got to go to her promised husband and try to explain this thing. Mm. I mean, you talk about a dilemma. Mm. This is the day that they would stone you for having any relationships outside the context of what God said that they should be. Obviously, if you read about it, they didn't do too much stoning because they did a lot of sinning. And so with that, understanding that here she was, my goodness, this is what Christmas is about. And as soon as she went and told, you know, John's daughter, John's mother about, John the Baptist's mother about what was going on, John even jumped inside of her womb, Elizabeth's womb. Why? Because the one who was going to prepare the way for the one who was going to prepare the way, they were both together. The promise of God was coming. Listen, Christmas is something to be so excited about. Listen, reclaim Christmas. Mm. Reclaim it. Understand that this is about the most awesome thing that could ever happen. If it doesn't matter what else happened in all creation, if this day did not happen, if God would not have given us the gift of his son, it would be over. Mm. This is just a time to be celebrated. Listen, when you're singing songs, you know, joy to the world. Listen, you were repeating words that angels declared to the shepherds when they found out that Jesus was born. This is not some songwriter who wrote that up. He said, listen, joy to the world, you know, let there be peace on earth, goodwill to all men, God's hope for us. This is a day. We have to begin to reclaim the Christmas carols and songs about Christ and his birth and what Christmas was about. And, we need to recapture that. We need to hit the streets again in the area of the communities we've been praying for in our Luke 10 prayer walks. And begin to get a group of us to go around from house to house and begin to sing the wondrous songs that the angels sang about that the Christmas carol, what Christmas is about. Christmas is not about you getting what your flesh wants. It's giving you what God gave you if you choose to take the gift of salvation that he offered to you on this day. Oh. And people say, well, you know, we've come so far away from the meaning of Christmas. Even to talk about this reality, some people get offended. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're really going to be offended at the judgment seat of Christ because Christmas is about Christmas. Mm-hmm. You can put an X in front of it, by the way, which, by the way, is a Greek letter for meaning for Christ. So you can even do that. It even happens based on my understanding of that. And you just can't take, you can just do away with the day, but you can't do away with the fact that we tell time by this. Mm-hmm. A man tells time by this. We tell time by the birth, death, and a resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. You know, BC means before Christ, not before X. It's not BX. That's a bike, right? BMX. It's BC, before Christ. And everything's measured in the epicenter. Why? Because the creator of the world, the universe, wanted to have a relationship with you. That's what Christmas is about. You sing, don't let the joy be taken from you. Don't go blow your money, Visa's money, MasterCard's money, your... HELOC money, your home equity loan money, borrowing money from your friends and digging through your cookie jars and to put yourself in debt and realize that Jesus Day is about God saying, I got my gift, my son that's born that's going to take your debt. Mm-hmm. Don't ruin the day by creating financial debt on top of you because you're a slave to the lender. It's a shame that the day that we celebrate that we can be free because a Savior was born, that it ends up in bondage and debt to some particular lender.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on. So this is it. We got to reboot. We got Christ back in Christmas. Think about it. We're 15 days away from the actual day that we celebrate, which more than likely wasn't the actual day of his birth, but we picked a day. But understanding that we're celebrating this and understanding that 33 years, he would be born for the purpose of dying, born to die. He would be born, and 33 years later, he would die. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Born to die. Why? For you and me. That's what this is about. And understand that Christ and Christmas are synonymous. You can't, even if you take away all the different things, I mean, think about the tree. You know, where did the tree, you can come up with 1,000 different things, but let me tell you what it can represent to you. It says, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. Not a cross, but on a tree. A cross is made from a tree. It's wood. Mm-hmm. And Jesus became a curse for you. Took on the curse that he didn't deserve so that we could be set free from a curse. And he is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And when you put lights on a tree, you're representing that Jesus was on that tree. Mm. Somebody says, well, I don't know what this tree thing's about. Begin to use it as a witness of what Christmas is about. And why do you put gifts under it? Because the gift of salvation, that he let captivity, he let us free. I mean, the gifts, we celebrate that we were free. We were set free that day, that God made a way for us. This is what Christmas is about. Quit apologizing for it. And if your boss, you know, if you are a Christian, you stand up for God in your workplace, don't let your boss tell you that you cannot acknowledge God. That is unconstitutional. Right. It is illegal, and they cannot do that.
That's right.
They cannot do it, nor can they actually stop anybody else from whatever they're actually in their beliefs. And so don't worship your job over God. And understand this. If we do that, you won't have a job. If you're noticing that, 23 million people don't, by the way. And so with this, it's the greatest gift we can give back to God this Christmas is to repent for taking him out of it. Repent for laying back and letting like the ACLU just kind of kick back and sue little dinky towns like Century and threaten them and saying, hey, listen, if you put up that manger scene like you've been doing for these years, you know, Century, Florida, this little small rinky-dink town. And they said it was worn out, so they said, we're just not going to buy it. We're not going to do it anymore. And it's like, what are we doing? Mm. What are we doing? I mean, the Pew Research says that 70-some-odd percent of, you know, surveyed people in America, Americans, profess to be Christian. So go with it. You know what I'm saying? Go with it. Right. Most America's for you. You know, most of them's for you. And why would you do that? You are a citizen. You are a human being. You happen to have been elected to office. You didn't change your humanity, nor did you change your accountability before God. And you're going to have to answer alone before God. No witnesses or no suspects. I don't care if you're a councilwoman or a councilman or a county commissioner or you're a governor or a senator or a congressman. It doesn't matter. You're going to have to answer alone. And if you bow down to a threat that somebody's going to take your two pennies from you, because if you put up a manger zine that basically had Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in it, which represented a gift from God, I mean, come on, you don't have to take the gift, but why not talk about the gift?
Hello.
I mean, come on, we've got to stand up. And that movie, Last Ounce of Courage, you got to get it. You got to get it on DVD, you know, and just it'll remind you. And that's a quote from President Ronald Reagan before he was president early on, because he began to see what was happening in the 60s and the 70s. And how America was just crumbling before our eyes. There was like the assassination of President Kennedy, the assassination of Dr. King, the assassination of Robert Kennedy. We had people that were blowing up government buildings, people marching in the streets. There was the sexual revolution where, you know, you had Woodstock and just free love and communal living. And I mean, everything that you could imagine going wrong was going wrong. The streets were just filled with what they call were hippies, but were transient people that were barefoot and shirtless and just kind of migrating, trying to find themselves. And in the midst of all that, God moved. God moved. I believe it's called the Latter Rain Movement. I'm not sure what that particular movement was called, but my spiritual father, Brother Cam, was his ministry was beginning or in the midst of that, and God began to just move mightily, just saved a whole lot of people that you see today that are CEOs and business owners and their own leaders and churches. They were long-haired, shirtless, footless. I mean, footless, but shoeless. You know, ain't had a bath in 30 day, trying to find themselves. Sexual revolution folks who found God. And so, if we began to put Christ back in Christmas, and we begin to stand up for what the love of God and what it's about, and that it's a gift, I want to encourage you. Don't let this be stolen from you. Uh-huh. of all the times in American history. You know, let it be said of us that we used our last ounce of courage to do what was right. We fought to our last ounce of courage. We didn't just, I mean, because our children are going to ask us one day, what did you do with all this freedom that we had?
That's right.
Why didn't you understand what the supreme law of America was? Why didn't you even, you couldn't even pass the citizenship test. And you were, you know, why did you, what was going on with you? Why did you blow this thing? You know, and we're still on the left side of blow. We haven't ended up on the right side of it yet, or we, you know what I'm saying? It hadn't happened fully, and we can repent. Listen, God just wants us to repent. And the first repentance that we can do is saying, you know what, God, forgive me for accrediting somebody else on your birthday. Forgive me for making Christmas all about an opportunity that I could leverage other people to get their finances to buy me stuff that I could have what I wanted from my parents, from my spouse, from friends and family, and never once make it about you. Lord, forgive me for making Christmas about a huge monstrosity of lust and just devouring and spending. And, you know, Lord, forgive me for that. And I want to make it about what it is. It's about you. It's about the birth of the gift. It's about what happened to Mary in that cave when an angel that stands in the presence of God, Gabriel himself, showed up to this young girl, this young teenage girl named Mary, and said, listen, you found favor. You found favor, and God himself, his spirit, is going to hover over you, and you are going to conceive a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. He's going to be all man and all God. He will rule forever, and his kingdom will have no end. He will be, and he is today, the light of the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.